honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
If you have a gluten allergy or intolerance, then you know firsthand how important it is to avoid it at all costs. Today's guest, April Pivido, is the author of The Gluten-Free Cheat Sheet. Diagnosed in 2011 with celiac disease, April is here to shed some light on how we can eat gluten-free and enjoy it. Welcome to the show, April.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know, it drives me crazy. I am gluten-free. I've been gluten-free for many, many years. And still today, people will say, you know, Andrea, is there anything you can eat? I always laugh. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much we can eat. And that's why when I saw your book, and did it just come out this week?
It did. It came out yesterday. Yes.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
awesome.
You. Yes, I know there's
and
so
I think
much
it's
to
great.
Eat. Thank you. Yeah, it's and that's, you know, that's what I love to focus on these days after my initial mourning period, which went on for probably a long time. I like to focus on what we can eat because there's so much to eat. There's so many things out there that don't have one thing to do with the bread aisle or the
right.
You know, the pasta section or it's gotten easier, but I understand the initial fear from people because it does sound really horrible. You can't have gluten. Oh my goodness. What in the world?
Exactly. You know, it's funny because, I mean, you obviously you're celiac, so you have no choice. I'm intolerant. So even when I do, and pretty much I don't have a choice either, because when I do eat gluten, for me, it's awful from a digestive standpoint, from a mental, emotional standpoint. And I'd love you to share a little bit about your experience. What's your gluten-free story? I mean, obviously we know you were diagnosed in 2011, but what is your story and what brought you to write your books and, you know, share your recipes with everybody?
Sure. Yeah, it was definitely my diagnosis in 2011 thrust me right into the middle of this the gluten-free trend, which I'd never even heard of until I was diagnosed. I'd never heard of gluten. I didn't know what celiac was, and it was kind of a trial by fire. But again, the timing was right for me to actually be gluten-free. And as a writer and a journalist and an editor, I immediately started writing about it because I couldn't believe that I'd been getting so horribly sick because of something in like my turkey sandwich. I just couldn't believe it. So I started writing from that POV, and it just came out of me, and I started exploring all the different options, and I started talking about the emotional impact of it, and I suddenly had a lot of people saying, "Oh my gosh, me too. Me too." Mm-hmm. And that's where it all began, and the more people who lined up to read my blog and to, you know, like my perspective on, you know, how I talked about gluten and this big life change, then came my first book and then now the follow-up. So I've been really lucky that I got sick at the right time during the zeitgeist of gluten-free eating, and I know a lot of other people were in need of what I had to say.
Well, everything happens for a reason, right? And like you said, it happened at the right time. And I think that what you're doing and the information you're sharing is going to help a lot of people. You talk about in your book about a gluten-free backlash. Tell us a little bit what you mean by that.
I'm sure you've experienced this as well, especially since you're gluten intolerant. You probably get it a lot more than I do since I have celiac. Mm-hmm. There's definitely, you see it on late night talk show hosts, love to make jokes about gluten and gluten-free people and how prissy we are and how crazy we are. And it's one of those things that I think it's getting worse and worse. I don't know if it will ever get better. I saw a TV commercial yesterday that made a joke about gluten, and it's a great punchline for people. For people who aren't like us, they experience a lot of pain whenever we eat gluten.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And it's that's the battle. Like when something becomes trendy and it's not just something that people like you and I have to deal with, then it's in the public consciousness, and then people start to say, "Wait, are you judging me? Are you telling me I can't have a donut? Are you telling me I can't eat what I want to eat?" And people get really defensive, and then here comes the backlash.
Well, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel that did that video, right, where they asked people what gluten was, and then people were like, they had no idea what it was. And that's where the sad part is. If you're asking people who don't, I mean, obviously it's TV and totally set up, which we know.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, I'm sure it was. But, you know, the truth is that when you're following a trend, like you said, or a fad, just because, then you're right. Then I agree that, you know, it doesn't give it such a good name. But for those of us who really need to eat gluten-free, the good news is that there are so many great options. And I'm lucky. I'm blessed. I've been in this industry, in the natural health industry, for over 15 years. So I'm privy to companies and products that have been around. And gluten-free has been around for a while, but really over the last, is it 5, 6, 7 years, that's where it's really exploded in terms of the choices. So it's so nice that we're now able to eat a lot more than, you know, people used to eat long ago. I mean, I hear stories from people saying they could never eat anything because there weren't that many choices. But like you said, there's so much more today.
Yeah, no, when you talk to people who were diagnosed even 10 years ago, they can't believe what's going on now. And you know, it is a great thing. The fact that it's trendy is helpful for people like you and I that need to, you know, eat out in the world and can't always be at home cooking our own food. It's very helpful, and I'll take the backlash. As long as I can go out to eat safely, then I'm like, okay, that's fine. Say what you will, as long as I can dine out every now and then.
No, that's a very good point. And I think some people are confused between all the different diets that are out there too. You know, there's paleo, there's gluten-free. You know, what's the difference? Maybe you could just, you know, shed some light for our listeners. If those people who are confused about it, what is the difference between paleo and gluten-free?
Sure. Paleo is, I always like to say, paleo is a choice, and gluten-free for some of us is a prescription. Like, we absolutely have to remove gluten, barley, wheat, and rye, and triticale, which is a weird grain that we don't see a lot of in the United States, from our diets, or we get, you know, dramatically ill. Paleo, it is gluten-free, which means it's safe for us to be on the paleo diet, but it also tackles a lot of other issues that foods that have popped up, I guess, in the post-Paleolithic era, technically is what it is. But as you and I know, there's a lot of different versions of paleo. But the idea is eating like people ate, you know, those many, many years ago, without the processed foods, without, you know, sugar, without dairy, without all these different things that have come about in our, you know, not-so-recent past. And it's about... people feel that with paleo, if you eat paleo, then you are eating grass-fed meat, you're eating healthier, and you're only eating things that your body has known how to digest for, you know, a bazillion years.
Thank you for shedding that light. We only have maybe 2 minutes left, not even, about a minute and a half left. And I just want to talk a little bit about celiac disease. So, you know, is celiac genetic? Are people born, you know, are people born with it, or is it something that develops over time? I mean, I know for me, but I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the shocking thing, that I was, you know, in my 30s when I started getting really sick and I was diagnosed with celiac. But the fact is, I had the gene, I had the genetic component. My family is filled with autoimmune diseases on my mother's side, and this happens to be mine. And now there is genetic testing for celiac, and I have discovered that my daughter has the gene. And so now even though she doesn't have symptoms and she's eating gluten, not much, because I do the cooking, but then she can digest it right now. But the possibility is she will develop the symptoms and the disease in the future. You know, hopefully she won't, and not everybody does, but I did. And, we have to keep an eye out.
And what is that test, that gene test that people can get if they're listening and they're thinking, oh, you know, they'd like to get it done?
Yeah, it's a blood test. It's a blood test that you can go to. We go to GI doctors, and there's a pediatric GI doctor for my daughter, and I have my very own GI doctor, and it's part of a celiac panel that you can also ask for the genetic test.
That's great to know. So for those of you who are listening and are interested, that would be something that you can definitely, and I guess it would help to eliminate it, which is important. So, well, thank you, April, for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you can visit, April, do you have a website where people go to find out more?
I do. Gluten is my bitch at WordPress.com. It is my original blog. And you can find me on Facebook as well.
I love that. Gluten is my bitch.wordpress.com. Great title. Great name. You can also, follow April on Twitter at April, is it Pivoto? I think it's her last name. Okay. Yeah. Pivoto. I'm Andrew Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay well.